So I recently returned from a deployment, and when I was deployed, I had a couple opportunities to run in some races. And I was running a marathon, and I was at mile 17, and I was by myself. So when you're running in races, there are often these packs. They're a group of people that are running at the same pace. And the next pack for me to catch up to wasn't in sight. And so I found myself in no man's land at mile 17, and that's really not a good place to be mentally. And so I caught up to this one older man, and he was a seasoned vet when it comes to marathoning. And he was able to give me a few tips here and there, but what I found most helpful was his presence. And so solo efforts in running are good, and at times they're necessary, but there is something about running with a pack or running with another individual that really pulls you along. And that's part of the thrill of race day. And this experience confirms what the writer of Ecclesiastes says when he says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." This morning, I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about the enduring community. So what is the community's role in fostering endurance? And that's our question. What does it mean for us, for River Community Church, to be an enduring community? And if you're like me, you're getting tired of anything related to COVID. But one of the reasons the social distancing is so mentally difficult and devastating is because as people, we are social creatures. We can't stop being social. Being social is what it means to be human. That's what we do. And I'm not talking about introversion versus extroversion here. An introvert's really not any less social than an extrovert. But humans are born into this web of social relationships. A child comes into the world and is dependent on her mother. And so there's relationship at the very beginning. And right now, it might seem like a strange time to talk about the role of community in learning endurance when community looks different than anything we've experienced before. But I think that highlights the further necessity of community for what it means to live a flourishing and resilient life. And perhaps we know the value of something in a deeper way when we experience its absence. And again, community at River hasn't been totally absent, but it has been different. And so we intuitively know the value of community. Think of how often we hear the cliches, "It takes a village." And so if we intuitively know that we need others, it is strange that people often choose to reject the very things that they need most in times of hardship. So we can stiff-arm others when we're in crisis or facing difficulty. And maybe that's because of our individualistic culture. It could be pride or our desire to be impressive. And so if we say we need others, but when things get tough and we're resistant or hesitant to reach out to others, then we have some deficiency in our knowledge. We don't really know the value of community. And so the person who stiff-arms others when they're weak is really missing an opportunity to grow in knowledge of community. And more importantly, they're missing an opportunity for Christ to minister to them through that community. Paul speaks of the God of all comfort who comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we've received from God. So the Christian life is not a solo effort. And yet, the community doesn't erase the individual. Paul says, we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And so like running, when things get tough, others can help to pull you along. And because we are social creatures, God didn't design us to learn endurance by ourselves. The community is a vital piece to what it means to grow in endurance. And so God's people have often been marked by endurance, and that's true of them from enslavement to the period of testing in the wilderness after the Exodus, and then the civil war, captivity, exile, all the way through the Acts of the Apostles. And the early church remarkably grows as this persecuted people. So from beginning to end, God is in their midst. And today we have the continuation of God's presence in the life of the church through the Spirit. And so if we look at that history just through a worldly perspective or through worldly wisdom, we might think it strange that this marginalized group of people would display such courage and endurance. But God's wisdom has turned the world upside down, and the power of God is made manifest in the weakness of the enduring community. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you, for he was crucified in weakness, but he lives by the power of God." And so Paul says how we are always carrying in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. And that leads him to say that he's content with weaknesses because it is in them that the power of God is made manifest, and it's in them that he has, strangely, all sufficiency in all things at all times. Dallas Willard said that our inadequacy reveals the adequacy of Christ. So our passage this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, and the author is writing to this people that's enduring hardship. So let me read the passage, Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through 39. "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." If you want to talk about perseverance of the saints, that's it. And traditionally, when we talk about perseverance of the saints, we mean regenerated Christians being unable to reverse that condition. Once saved, always saved. And that's perfectly fine, good doctrine. But that passage, in a very literal sense, is talking about saints, Christians, persevering through enormous pressure. And that's the kind of endurance that doesn't shrink back, but endures to the end. And so for our situation right now, there is going to be an other side to this, and life is going to resume to some level of normal. At this point, we don't know quite what that looks like exactly, but it's important for us to remember that there will be another side to this, and we need to endure through this. But our need for endurance doesn't end once we come through the other side. We don't get to graduate from endurance training. There might be more intense periods of training in our life, but we don't get to say, "Whew, I did that once, I checked that box." The kind of endurance that we need is in it for the long haul. And so some of us are going to face or are currently facing greater challenges than what the spring of 2020 gave us. The spring of 2020 might pale in comparison to those. So we need to become people of grit, people of endurance. And importantly, the endurance described in that passage is a communal effort. There are no isolated individuals at work here, because whenever "you" is mentioned in that passage, it's plural. So if you're from Texas, you could read that passage and insert "y'all" in place of all the "yous." And the important thing is that they experienced these hardships as a community. They were not going at it alone. They had solidarity in that. And what this passage presupposes is a community that shares the whole of life together. He says, "Sometimes you were partners with those so treated." They were a people who embodied Paul's exhortation to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. So it's not all doom and gloom this morning. If we're going to talk about the enduring community that suffers under trial, we also have to talk about the joyful community. Because people are not going to weep with each other unless they also know how to laugh with each other. In terms of the work environment, it's been said that one of the signs of a healthy and a functioning team is one who laughs together. And I've been a part of some unhealthy teams in the past where it felt like you couldn't laugh freely amongst each other. The oxygen was just sucked out of the room. And the problem that this creates is that when things get hard and at the moment you need each other the most, you're not going to lean in on each other because at root is this lack of trust. And so another way of putting this is that you can't expect people to cry with you unless they also know how to have fun with you. And unfortunately, this aspect of ministry is often missed because fun is not typically thought of as a theological category. And people might say, well, ministry is serious business. We're dealing with souls after all. And I agree, ministry is the most serious business out there. It's of eternal significance. But often the things of the most extraordinary significance seem insignificant and ordinary. And so we can't underestimate the value of a community that knows how to play. And I'm glad to say at River, I think we do this well. Fun, as it turns out, is this advanced theological category. It takes wisdom to know how to teach your kids how to worship and thank God while having fun together. So we often talk about living a single-story life. A two-story house has all the religious stuff upstairs and then the everyday life downstairs. But our life must be this ranch-style house, this single-story home where there isn't a distinction. We can't separate fun from God. We can't merely gather to talk about theological concepts and do Bible studies together if we're not living single-story lives with each other. And what this passage in Hebrews displays is a community that shares in a common life together to include all of its joys and sorrows. The community has solidarity with each other, and what they give to each other is a ministry of presence. They are simply there for each other. And so a ministry of presence in the time of COVID takes some creativity, but it's still doable and it's necessary. We can't forget the importance of embodied presence. And that's what they had as they endured these hardships together. And so the author, after describing these current hardships, he then recounts what's called the Hall of Faith of Hebrews chapter 11. And he describes these various figures from the Old Testament who had the kind of faith that endures. And then in chapter 12, the author calls us to endurance. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Notice this call to endurance happens in the context of community. Since we are surrounded by all of these witnesses, let us run with endurance. Even the running is done together. The whole community is engaged in this effort. So what's our application? Well, it's an easy one. I have one thing to focus on this morning. And one of the practical ways we grow in endurance as a community is through encouragement. In Hebrews 3:13, we're told, "Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And a few chapters later, we are again told, "Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now that verse can easily be taken out of context in a time like this. And really, we shouldn't be proof texting the Bible to tell people they should stay home or not stay home. Our ears can perk up when we hear those words at a time like this, and our current circumstance can distort what the passage is actually saying. This passage is about encouragement. And the root word translated as encourage in this verse is parakaleo, meaning to call beside, to call on for support. And the same word is used to describe the Holy Spirit. And in English, courage is that mindset that enables one to face difficulty or trials without fear. And so to encourage means to put courage within somebody, to pour courage into one's heart. And so as people, we are these leaky buckets and we leak vision and perspective. And we need others to continually fill those buckets up, to pour encouragement into our hearts when our perspective starts to leak. Because when facing difficulty, the confines of our own mind can be dangerous because we don't see things accurately, or we might be seeing something distortedly, and we might be looking at a situation through a soda straw with this incredibly narrow view. And so these verses illustrate the necessity of others to challenge our perspective. We need community so that we're not deceived by our own deceitful hearts. So when my deployment was extended, it would have been easy for me to grow hardened by cynicism or apathy. And I watched it happen as people checked out mentally or grew increasingly on edge with each other. And those feelings are not private emotional states. They have second and third order effects. They affect the people around you. And so it's not that I never felt cynical or apathetic, but I had friends who poured courage into my heart. And one of my friends and I would joke that it felt like the end of the deployment felt like the scene from Rocky IV when the Russians' treadmills just, the incline just keeps coming up. And life feels like that sometimes. But hearing reminders from friends that you will be home and you're going to be stronger for the rest of your life because of this, hearing those things kept me from hardening my heart or growing resentful. And so as my heart was filled with encouragement, then I was able to encourage those who I was with. So training in endurance is not easy, and that's the point. It is difficult. But within that difficulty, we can experience enduring happiness that transcends these circumstances. And that's what joy is. So we need community to endure these difficulties, knowing that God is doing this deep soul work within us. Hebrews 12:11 tells us that at the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a fruitful, the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We need the church if we're going to train in endurance. In Deuteronomy 8, God told the Israelites that he led them through the wilderness and he gave them manna that he might humble them and test them and to do them good in the end. And that humility he talks about is about dependence on God's provision. The opposite of dependence would be independence. God humbled them, that is, God made them dependent on him in order that they might know that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we must resist these idols of our own self-sufficiency and autonomy. Our efforts to grit our teeth or to white-knuckle it through trials on our own are unimpressive in the Lord's eyes. He's given us a ministry of presence, himself and the embodied community. And so if we reject others or hold them off at a distance, we're rejecting a gift to experience God in deeper and more intimate ways. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word and your spirit and your people who you've given to us to hear from you. I pray that we would become people who encourage each other, who give and receive encouragement as we learn what it means to endure. Amen.